From AllSport.com and AllSport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the AllSport National Podcast. Well, we've just had Brands Hatch Super Touring Power 3. It's rapidly established itself as one of the highlights of the UK motorsport season. And so we're going to talk about some of the highlights with one of the people that made it happen. I'd like to introduce our special guest, David Willey, the Group Motorsport Event Manager at Motorsport Vision. But actually, really, we're just going to call you the Super Touring Guru for this event, David. How are you doing?
Very good morning, Kevin. How are you doing? Very good, thanks. Just recovering from the weekend. I don't think I've known Brands Hatch to be so hot as it was on the Saturday and Sunday.
It was hot, wasn't it? And because I was fortunate enough to be there both days. You had me and Marcus Simmons on the live stage across the weekend. So thank you very much for that. And actually, of course, it's much more than a race meeting, isn't it? It's one of those events where you've got displays, we've got the live action, we've got all sorts of, also not live action, but live stage. So it's kind of, it's one of your sort of bigger events, isn't it? Rather than just, oh, here is a club meeting sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, as you know, on track, we have the race content from the Classic Racing Touring Car Club. And then off track, we have hundreds of retro cars, pre-2000 cars that involve local car clubs and individual owners. And also other touring car replicas. There's a club called BTCC Styling, and they're a fanatical bunch who have numerous replica of touring cars throughout the ages, which is
they were really out in force, weren't they?
They were really out.
You could almost have had a race just with the road cars that had the touring car liveries. It was amazing. So, and of course, you had things like you had PlayStation games, the original Toka 2. So nice retro feel. I must admit, by the end of the weekend, I had enough of the 90s music. I will just say that that kind of got to me in the end. But everything else was excellent. So, well, before we get into some of the nitty gritty of it, what were the highlights for you? I mean, there was so much going on. What were the things that stood out to you? I know you were obviously rushing around doing 1,001 things, but what did you take the chance to enjoy during the 2 days?
Well, it was fabulous again to have the drivers from New Zealand come over. Again, they were here in Super Touring Power 1, and they brought over, I think it was five or six Super Tourers. They arrived in the containers the week before the event, although there was one container that didn't arrive until Saturday afternoon. So fortunately, two of the Super Tourers managed to get out on Sunday. So that was a bit close. But, I mean, it was obviously great seeing Pete Sturgeon's ex-McNeil Team Dynamics Primera, and obviously Paul McCartney's ex Patrick Watts Mazda Zedos, which I don't think hasn't been in the UK and raced like that since, well, probably at least the 90s. So that was fabulous to see that. Obviously, another highlight was having Colin Turkington race the Super Tourer for the first time. If it wasn't for the incident he had in the race on Saturday with the car, I think he'd have probably won that. He had a fantastic battle with Michael Lyons in the Xlesvia Accord, which also came over from New Zealand. And then again, seeing Colin back with the MGZS Jason Hughes' car on Sunday, and Tom Ingram, he was in an RS 500. In the Group A race, and you know he drove magnificently in that, and also joined us, as did Colin, on the Autosport stage with you and Marcus. So in terms of the on-track element, those were certainly the main highlights for me.
Yeah, the Turkington and Ingram are both just such class acts, aren't they? I mean, Colin, I know he got jumped by Michael Lyons at the start on Saturday on the Grand Prix track when he was in the X-Plato Vectra. And as you say, Mark was in the, I think, the Leslie Accord, wasn't it? But he quickly got the lead back, and then he disappeared, lapping very close, pretty much the same lap times that Jake Hill was doing in the Nissan Primera last year, which kind of tantalising for a future face-off at some point would be good. But yeah, he had a suspension problem, didn't he, ago? But I did speak to him on the Sunday, and after the first race around the Indy circuit, and I did say, as much as I would love to have seen you in the Vectra and going off and winning, it was actually a much more interesting race because he was in his old MGZS, the effectively a BTC car, so not as quick as the Super Tourer. So he had Jason Hughes in the Vectra having a good old fight with Michael Lyon. So they stayed close together in both races, didn't they? And then you had
those were fantastic race on the Sunday between Hughes and Lyons. That was so close, you know, with these cars being, well, especially the Accord being at least 30 years old. Just seeing them driven so hard was spectacular to see.
Yeah, and then Colin behind with the MG harassing a couple of other Super Tourers. I don't know how many times he got alongside Conrad Timms's Ford Mondeo at Clearways, only to have the Mondeo stretch its legs down the start finish straight. It was very entertaining. So and Ingram, I mean, before qualifying, he said to me, "Oh yeah, it's a bit soft. It's moving around a lot. It doesn't race as many of the other ones. I'm not sure how we'll get on the course." Sticks it on pole and was leading by 5.2 seconds after the first lap because he just got on with it. I mean, he did get chased down by Paul Mensley. Actually, we should say Mensley had an incredible weekend, didn't he? Because obviously he did get past Tom in Jeremy Sutton's RS500, which then had a problem, didn't it? And he had to, well, I think he described it as a fuel pressure issue, was it, or something? And he had a prop issue at some point as well later on. Yeah, so a few problems for Tom, yeah. But Mensley ended up, you know, won that race. He beat Dan Brown's RS500 later on, and then he won two races on the Indy circuit on Sunday. So four wins, you've got to give him some credit. I thought another highlight that I like to pick out is the pre-66. I know, unfortunately, they did have a big multi-car accident, didn't they, on the Sunday, which your guys had to take some considerable time clearing up. But on the day before, in I think it was the second race, we had an absolutely sensational fight between the two Cortinas for second behind runaway leader Sam Tordoff in the Mustang. Victor Cullen and Patrick Shufflin had an absolutely fantastic fight where they were alongside each other half the time, it looked like.
Exactly. And although he couldn't get out in the Mondeo, the Super Tour one day, AJ Owen was also, I think he got over a good few results in his Sierra. So although the Mondeo wasn't working, I think in the Blue Oval Saloon, he got out in the Sierra and got a few trophies, even though his Mondeo was broken.
yeah, that's good. I mean, actually, we should say, well, it's called Super Tour in Power, but actually we discussed this over the weekend. You could almost call it something else because it's really almost the history of touring cars, isn't it? Because you go from pre-66 right up to the present day pretty nearly. I mean, is there any thoughts to maybe sort of rebrand it in future? Because I was thinking, you know, Charles Reindrup was in a Capri, he was beaten by a Datsun 510. We haven't even got onto that. So you've got a really wide range of tin top stuff. You could almost rebrand it.
Yeah, absolutely. The club has an amazing membership and array of cars with grids from the pre-66 to the pre-03. And, you know, all the grids were, you know, very well subscribed over the weekend, as they have been for the past 3 years at Super Touring Power. So there's definitely, you should almost, if there wasn't even any Super Touring cars, you could have a classic touring car festival. That and they take that through, you know, across all the circuits they go to throughout the year.
Yeah, we should point out actually there, the CTCLC are plenty other racetracks. This is just, I guess, the kind of the big one. I mean, have you had any opportunities to hear back from competitors and their views on the event? I mean, it's kind of the blue ribbon one for them, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, there's the guys in general love racing at Brands Hatch. I mean, I think this is the second of three rounds they have at Brands this year. They were at Trucks, I believe, back in April. And then they had the 1MG. I think they've got an indie round at the end of the year as well. So there's a big following from the club for Brands Hatch. I'm due to catch up with Stuart Kai, who's the chairman of the CTCRC in the next week. So we're just going to have a sit down and go through what they want to do for 2026. But from our side, we'd certainly like to continue with an event which celebrates touring cars, because it is tremendous content. And I think in general in the country there is such a love for touring car racing in general, really, and because there's so many amazing cars out there that are raced by owners who are complete enthusiasts. And I think there's been a huge resurgence in recent years for the love of super tourers, as well as we've seen at events like MRL's Donington Historic Festival back in May. They had a great showing of touring cars on display and demonstrating there. And they had some lovely cars coming over from Europe as well. And, you know, I think if the New Zealanders were going to come over again at some point, then that would be another amazing opportunity to look at inviting them back to Brands Hatch.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Super Touring Challenge, if you like, because these cars are sophisticated pieces of kit. The budgets, certainly by the second half of the 1990s, were way ahead of what anyone spends on touring car racing now. I mean, I think Ford Pro Driver reputed spent 10 to 12 million or something on their last, you know, the last championship. It was just incredible sort of levels of spending and sophistication of the cars. So they're not easy to run, we should point out, and they're not particularly cheap. So the New Zealanders, they didn't come last year. They did come this year and they came the first year. Obviously, you know, you had Richard Wheeler's lot last year with Jake Hill and Anthony Reid and Nissans who weren't there this year. But you did have, obviously, you did have Colin Turkington in the Vauxhall, and you'd have the New Zealanders back. So can you talk us through perhaps a little bit of the challenges that the owners and preppers have to get these cars out on track? Because it's not like running a Ford Capri, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I don't own a Super Tourer. I wish I did. I wish I'd bought one about.
Well, come on, David, sort it out.
But no, speaking to the guys and the teams that do own these cars, I mean, obviously they're highly tuned machines, and they were, you know, built back in the day by basically teams that were sort of, well, they were F1 level, a lot of them. And one of the anecdotes that Anthony Reid, a great supporter of the Super Tour and Para event, who was at the at Brands at the weekend, said on stage at one point, I think that when Nissan were doing their Primera programs in the late 90s, the cost to actually do the last year in 1999 equaled the amount that Nissan made in profit in the UK that year. So, you know, it was never going to be sustainable, but. Thankfully, to the guys who get these cars out on track nowadays, we can still see them. But the challenges that they say that they face is obviously trying to find parts for these cars, because a lot of them were fabricated back in the day by the likes of ProDrive, RML, and teams in, you know, Williams F1. So you can't just go down to your local, you know, Nissan dealership or Vauxhall dealership and say, have you got this part from the 90s from a Vauxhall Vectra or a Primera? Because, you know, they're not standard parts. It's full of carbon fiber, you know, bespoke body panels and everything else. And then when you go down to the electrics and the, you know, the actual power unit, it's just a completely different beast. So, you know, when something goes wrong, it takes a huge amount of time and effort and expense to actually get these cars fixed. And so when they do go wrong, it's not the case of just quickly getting the mechanic out and fixing it. You know, it's going to take weeks, if not months.
Yeah, I remember speaking to Patrick Watts last year about getting his, because obviously he's got his own 406 that he raced in Australia. And he said, yeah, I'm going to get it out for next year. And even I remember was asking Laura Aiello, who you had as one of your guests last year, about set up tweaks, because obviously the car that raced in Germany is always rather more competitive than the one in the UK. And then, of course, he wasn't out on track. Well, he was actually in the demo with his MG Metro, but not racing. So I asked him again. He said, yeah, it's still going to happen, but we're still working on the engine. So that gives you a certain amount of idea, I guess, of how long it can take to get these things back on there. Back on track and ready to race. I mean, John Clellan's got one of his old Vauxhalls as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
And in the demo, you had the 97 Renault Laguna, the ex-Alumenu car, Clellan's 95 Cavalier. And I thought Andrew Jordan was really pressing on in the old E36 320i. He should definitely be in a race next time. We need to twist his arm.
Yeah, having Andrew Jordan there was obviously another highlight. You know, it was great of him to demo that car again, immaculately prepared, and he was driving it like it should be driven, even though it was a demo. And, you know, with the sun shining at Brands, and, you know, with the amazing liveries they had back then, it was just a perfect setting. We got some amazing photographs and video footage from the event that that we've got for the archive, which is just fantastic.
Well, I should say also, take a look at allsport.com for our coverage. We've got a report and we've picked out some highlights, key cars and races from that event. And we should say that the legends were there as well, and they're always hilarious. I know they're perhaps stretching the definition of a touring car, but the legends races are always pretty entertaining. So I know you've got your meeting with Stuart coming up soon, and it's probably a little bit early to say, but let's say we're sort of doing something similar again in future. Who are the names that, because as last year, I think the coup was Aiello. Obviously, we've had Cleland there in the past. You had Ray Mallock celebrating the RML anniversary last year as well. This year, we had Anthony Reid, Patrick Watts, and a couple of the current stars, as you say, with Turkington and Ingram, which was quite a nice mix. I thought they were brilliant together on the live stage. So, who would your ideal guests be if you could do a wish list of super touring stars that we haven't had yet?
There's still quite, I think there's a massive list. You wouldn't believe it, but we had American Speed Fest, an American themed event we ran at Brands 2 weeks before, and the one and only Van Muller was there.
Oh yeah, he was doing the Euro NASCAR thing, wasn't he? Well, he was down originally to do it.
Yeah, so he runs a team that runs a car, and I met up with him and said, is there any chance you can just come back in a couple of weeks later? But we'd already been in touch, and he already had commitments. So obviously Van Muller, Rickard Riddell was on top of our list this year, but unfortunately it clashed with an F1 event, and he has TV commitments with Formula One. Obviously Nigel Mansell would be an amazing driver to have, especially with if we have a Brands again, his connection to Brands and Formula One and everything else, and what he did in touring cars in 1998. Tarquini, he would have liked to have attended, but again, you know, with so much going on, that there were some clashes there. Vincent Rademacher, another super touring legend, that would be another great name to have. We actually also got in touch with Simeone, but again, he had commitments. So there's a huge array of other drivers as well that we'd love to get down.
Still trying. Of course, you had Alain Menu as well before, so we should try and get him. But I guess the other name that's perhaps and you've had Paul Radisich as well,
yeah,
first
exactly.
year. Perhaps the other person we need is Smoking Joe Vingerhoek. I think
absolutely,
he would be.
Yeah.
He's. I think Vingerhoek and Riddell probably the two. Especially if you get them alongside Menu and Cleland, you'd have a proper old reunion then, wouldn't you? So, but then we'd have to persuade them to get into some of the cars. And they might be a bit reluctant. They might do demos. You can get them in demos.
Yeah, and obviously close to home, you know, the legends that are Jason Plato and Matt Neal, they haven't been to the event yet. So, you know, it would have been great to have Matt here this year with his Team Dynamics car. And also, you know, Plato's Vetch, which Jason Hughes owns now. It'd be great to have those two guys. And I think there'd be a great couple of guests to have on your stage.
So we get Steve Ryder back now that he's retired. We'll give him some time off, and then we'll get him back and interview him on the stage again.
it was fabulous to have him on your stage last year at the event. I mean, he's the best of the best, Steve Ryder. And hopefully it won't, you know, won't be the last we'll see of him. Hopefully we'll see him at other motorsport events in the future, for sure.
Yeah, it feels frankly ridiculous and quite intimidating to be the presenter interviewing Steve Ryder. That seems completely the wrong way around. Although he's got such good stories, he's very much someone that should be interviewed and asked about, because he's been there, seen it, done it, and he's got lots of good anecdotes to tell, I'm sure. But before we let you go, David, what have you got coming up at Brands and MSV? What are the big things coming up next? I guess the Super Prix would be one.
Yeah, Super Prix next weekend. Then we've got BSB towards the end of the month. And we've got Full Power Live, which is a car show in September. Also in August, we've got the Mini Festival and Festival Italia, which includes the Ferrari Owners Club. And then towards the end of the year, obviously, we've got the final rounds of touring cars, BSB as well, and also British GT will be here later in the year as well. So, yeah, middle of the season, but it's still incredibly busy. And obviously across our other circuits as well, we've got the rest of the season to come with lots of events as well.
Yeah, plenty of things to keep you busy. And of course, with the Brands finale, you're almost certain to see Mr. Ingram back in the a championship fight with Ash Sutton. And we should get Sutton in something for historic touring car wise as well. I bet he'd love to be in an RS500 or something like that.
Yeah, he could be quite good. He was actually at Super Touring Power One. He drove his I think it was his Focus.
That's right, he was. Yeah. No, we want to get him racing. We want to get him out. Watching him hurl a Lotus Cortina around Goodwood, just absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, I reckon him getting in the mix as well. Perhaps if you gave him a Cortina, you could give Mr. Tordoff a run for his money in the Mustang, because Sam did look like he was in control of those races most of the time, didn't he? Just staying out of reach of the Cortinas. But yeah, could do with giving him a little bit more of a headache, I think.
Well, if you contact Stuart Kai from the CTCRC, I'm sure you can put him in touch the right people.
Yeah, we'll get Marcus Simmons to harangue Ash into getting in touch. And maybe we'll get Tom Ingram to go up to him and tell him how wonderful it is as well, so we can persuade him to come along. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us, David. Appreciate all your efforts over the weekend. It was nice to be there. Although, if it could just be a few degrees cooler, that would be good. I felt a little bit bad dragging my 9-year-old around the Grand Prix loop on the Saturday. It was absolutely boiling by the end, but definitely worth doing. But thanks very much for joining us, and thank you very much for listening. We'll be back soon with another Autosport National podcast.